listeners.
It's been about the end of the Demolition Spy job.
Voice from air traffic, red, say the skies are clear.
It's the real thing. Radio signal from another world.
Our intelligence tells us the object assembled into a stationary orbit. Part of it is broken off into nearly three dozen other pieces. Smaller than the whole, sir. Yet over 15 miles in width themselves.
Where are they heading?
They should be entering our atmosphere within the next 25 minutes.
Earthquake!
Let's just get there. As quickly as
What's
possible.
What's the rush, huh? We'll get to Washington and won't be there.
It is confirmed. The unexplained phenomenon is headed for Moscow.
It's like a chess. First, they're positioning their pieces using this one signal to synchronize their efforts.
And then what?
Checkmate.
God.
I really don't think they flew 90 billion light years to start a fight.
We're gonna stop them! We're gonna kill them!
There's gonna be a lot of frightened people out there.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Something you want to add to this briefing, Captain Hiller?
No, sir. I'm just a little anxious to get up there and whoop E.T.'s ass, that's all.
All right, welcome back to the movies. I am Ted Flynn, as always, joined by Jake Voss and Sean Chantez Festerman. 4th of July is right around the corner, and you know, Back to Movies is about movies in which one of us has not seen, or maybe we have not seen for a while. And we figure, since Independence Day is right there, 4th of July, why not revisit Independence Day from 1996? You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, and iHeart, not Stitcher. I think we're actually on Amazon Music now. Does anyone even fucking use Amazon Music?
I don't know. They always email me about it, and I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, so Amazon Music is an option. Hopefully you listened to last week's podcast about American Pie, which, safe to say, my lawyer is not happy about.
I wonder why.
Apparently that was a rough draft statement I read, and...
Oh, yikes.
He's gotten a few phone calls. It's cool. It's fine. He also says that how I properly service a pie is correct and everyone else is wrong. If you were to service a pie, I don't obviously.
I feel like you're adding
I
that.
I think you just made the statement saying you service pies, but all right, whatever you
like
say.
Like I serve them to people.
You're obviously not a lawyer.
Get your minds out of your gutter. Anyways, we're here to talk about Independence Day. As always, if you have not seen Independence Day, which go watch it. It's an amazing blockbuster movie. And you're here to listen to us talk and discuss it and go through our categories and have fun. I have made a wheel. It's a wheel that I create every week because I'm a very handy person. I have tools. I am basically Al from Home Improvement. The wheel this week, as I'm showing the guys, is obviously it's a spaceship. It's a spaceship from Independence Day. It's cool. It's black. It has a little tentacle thing that I found on the internet. I had an incognito mode to find that tentacle on the internet. Don't ask me where I found the tentacle. On the internet, just say my ads now are
kind of scared. Yeah, I'm kind of scared as to.
So I'm gonna spin the alien spaceship with the tentacle. That's only a tentacle, not anything else. Not that we kink shame on Back to the Movies. All right, here we go. It's slimy. All right. Oh, thump, slick, thump, thump, slick, thump, thump. Jake Voss, luckily the tentacle has landed on you. Congrats. I hope you feel happy. Whatever emotions you might come with a tentacle landed on you. In 90 seconds or less, spoil the shit out of 1996's Independence Day. And I'm going to mail you this tentacle when we're done because I figure you want it for whatever reason.
Please don't. Yeah. So Independence Day is, I don't know, an alien invasion movie at the core. We meet, I don't know, a pretty loaded cast: Bill Pullman, Jeff Goldblum, Will Smith. They somehow, even in the 90s, I guess they don't have the technology to detect a large, very large spaceship approaching that somehow hides behind the moon.
The sky is huge. Have you not realized how big the sky is? Did they not tell you that in Armageddon?
It gets to the moon, and then they are like, oh, the moon is sending us signals. Anyway, aliens come to...
That's your problem with this movie.
Well, I have some other things to talk about, but aliens come to invade Earth. People don't know why they're there. They think, you know, maybe they just want to be friendly. We can make peace. Jeff Goldblum discovers a signal that ends up being a countdown. He goes and tells president, and they escape. Area 51 stuff. All the major cities in the world are blown up. They try to launch counterattack. Doesn't work. Jeff Goldblum comes up with idea to give virus to aliens to take down their shields, because that's why they can't hit them. Take down shields, still doesn't matter. Randy Quaid, who I haven't mentioned yet, crazy pilot guy.
Crazy in her life.
Don't know if he was actually abducted by him 10 years earlier, like he claims, but he is back, boys, blows up the fucking spaceship, and they radio everybody else that they've been talking to on Earth that they've coordinated attacks with. They blow up all the spaceships. This is Independence Day. The world is saved.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
There's lots of stuff in there to talk about, but I think I hit kind of most of the big stuff.
It is. Yeah. Like, so as always, we lead off with, like I said, this podcast about it. I assume most of us have seen this movie kind of recently. I watch it every year with my sons. So I guess we're ruining the podcast, but also I went to watch Independence Day and I make the rules. So
I think it might have been over a year since I've watched this podcast. So I guess we'll say
not watch this movie
or the, watch, sorry, this movie. Watch this movie. So we'll say that qualifies.
So what is your guys' earliest memories of this movie?
I guess I don't know any specifics. I remember it wasn't a movie. I don't think I saw it in theaters or anything like that, but I know we had this on VHS, probably right after it came out. I always loved this movie, basically from the moment it was available. As far as like specifics, I don't really remember. Like I said, I just remember, I know we had the tapes. I know we were talking the other day about, I guess even a little bit before this, I got the pleasure of watching this in about 3-minute chunks today for the most part. But it is a movie I have seen.
I have many times. Friends that are Utes that watch whole movies on TikTok, and that drives me nuts. So that's basically what you did. You watched
it. Is crazy. Yeah, a little bit. It's more or less I did. Yeah, I was at work and it was in between helping customers, and yeah, it was in snippets. But there's plenty of, I've seen the movie, you know, at least a dozen times. I know where it's going. I do have notes. There is stuff I forgot about here. I did not realize. I don't know that I've sat down to watch it beginning to end in a while. I did not realize it's 2.5 hours long.
It's a quick 2.5 hours. Like, I don't know what you would cut from it.
Yeah, there was a couple places I'm like, you could have saved yourself like 5 minutes here and like just some.
So on that stuff, on but... that note, I looked up earlier, and I'll get to like my memories of it or whatever. But since you brought up the runtime, I googled the runtime earlier today, and it says 2 hours 25 minutes.
It's not bad. Mine's like 2:18.
Okay, so I watched it on video on demand on YouTube TV, so like a replay of.
I'm watching on Hulu
FXM, and so it has like, it doesn't actually have commercials, but it has the cuts for the commercial breaks, and it was like 2:15 or 2:16 or something. So I didn't know if there was stuff they like cut out for the TV cut.
Let's see what IMDb says here.
Or not.
I didn't feel like it was 2:25 when I watched it.
That's not what the runtime on this is. I didn't notice anything. Yeah, I've also seen this movie probably a dozen times. I've seen chunks of this movie a lot more than a dozen times, I'm sure. This movie for me, I don't know exactly when I first watched it, but this was one of those whatever FX, whatever that network has been forever, where it was just on TV.
Yeah.
In like the 2000s or whatever. It was like, you know, twice a weekend it was on in the afternoon or night or whatever. Like it was just playing. So I've seen a lot of this movie a lot of times.
So Hulu has it at 225. Some of it, I don't know if your doesn't have the credits, maybe.
It may, yeah. I guess I didn't like watch the through the very end. It just might not have the credits on the end of it. That could be.
So I definitely saw this in a theater because I'm old.
I was three.
And six. Sean was like six. Yeah. I was 14. I know for a fact my dad took me. So it'd
been great to watch in the theater. I'd love to go watch this in the theater.
So this is back, and we mentioned a little bit on the American Pie podcast. This is back before they would show everything in the trailer. So like this had like one of the most famous Super Bowl ads of all time, which was literally the White House getting fucking smoked. And that was the ad. Nothing else. Independence Day. We Fight Back, or whatever the trailer is. I'm sure when Jake finds it for the front of his podcast that you all heard about, get it. So, like, literally they led with this getting blown up. I've loved this movie. We referenced American Pie last week when I said one movie I've seen. When the girlfriend asked, what movies have you seen most in your life? Independence Day is probably up there. I was looking at the list today. Like, I feel like it's Sandlot, Independence Day, American Pie, Die Hard, Tombstone. But Independence Day is one of those movies that, like, you just watch. And what makes it so special, and I'm sorry, I'm nerding now, is, like, came out in 96, so it's right before the CGI thing.
Yeah.
So, like, the explosions are practical. They melt. They built model cities to explode. They built a model White House to explode. They built a model airplane spaceship to fall into a fake Grand Canyon to explode. Like, and you can see that. Like, you can see tell, it. Even,
for sure, yeah.
You know, and Armageddon is a couple years after this, and that's still mostly practical, but then, like, Phantom Menace is 99 and Matrix is 99. That's when like they start like leaning in the computers, you know, where like this one's more practical. And it's just so good. And like you mentioned it being slow, Sean, but like it takes 15 minutes to introduce to you all the main characters. You meet David, you meet Whitmore, you meet
It's
Will Smith. Like
it's Stephen for Howard. Sure. It jumps out like the plot is they are moving plot right away. Like it is. It doesn't warm you up. You're in it. You know, you get the little background TV reports and radio reports. And then it's, you know, people looking out windows and
it's so good. Like dropping shit that like this movie's too good for the premise. Like I love the part where he's like, it's not a meteor. How do you know it's not a meteor? It's slowing down. And that's just such a we're fucked moment.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh shit, you know, or the submarine that's underneath the thing. Right. And you can't see it. And there's like, it's 13 kilometers wide, you know, or 15 kilometers wide. Yeah, they're huge. The machines, like these things are huge.
But yeah, it's
100% awesome. I went to the theater. I've never seen it. They made a sequel. We're not going to talk about that until later, until I shit all over it.
I was going to open this with, we were watching the new one, right? Like that's what we were supposed to do.
I have promised a sequel.
I have not seen it.
So, I saw a sequel in the theater. The best part of sequel is that they set up a third one, which I would have fucking loved to see, and then it didn't make money. And then the sequel, they basically decide because the aliens come back, and they basically said, we're going to go back there. We're going to go to their planet and fuck them up. And
yeah. I believe I owned the second one on.
I know Amazon, I own it.
And I think I've watched it one time.
My son likes it because there's a kaiju type moment towards the end where there's a big alien chasing a bus. It's so bad. Anyways.
So the CGI thing is an interesting thing you bring up because I made a note of the stuff, the special effects stuff in this movie is probably as well done as you can do it at this point. Cause like, if you make, like you said, a lot of that stuff, they do actual models and you can tell and whatever. If they would have tried to like CGI that stuff in 96, like it just would not.
I think most of CGI went into dogfights.
Yeah, what I would have let, and it's, I mean, honestly, it's it's not, obviously you can tell it's older and it is what it is, but it's not like bad to the point, or it's not like bad to the point of like throwing you off. But I did make a note that, like, man, I'd love to see this movie made exactly the way it is, but like with good CGI, just to where it's like modern CGI.
You can tell that they're using a lot of the special effects from the initial Star Wars almost, and like those dogfights, which I mean, I love. And like I said, I watched this with the girl, and she hasn't seen it in a few years. One of the fair things, like, and we're skipping ahead to a dogfight, we'll come back towards the end, but like, there's a, after the alien spaceships destroy the world, destroy the cities, there's a dogfight, and they realize that they're fucked, the shields go, or the smallest plans. I low-key love in a movie that has airplanes or things like this, where like when a pilot gets killed, it like zooms in on his cockpit, explode. It could be a nobody. It could be a nobody. And it just makes it so much more personal. Just some nobody being like, ah! And then like flames, you know, erupt around.
It's like an instant of scream and just explosion.
Yeah. And it shows the actor, and you know, and like it just, it makes it feel more personal than just, you just seeing an airplane that can't get through a bunch of ships blown up, or, you know. But so back to the part where like the aliens show up and they position themselves over the city.
Yeah, so the big ship shows up from like behind the moon or whatever, and then it like launches the like 15 other spaceships, which
they're all
like,
massive.
Themselves are fucking massive and position themselves over basically the 15 most major cities in the in the world, like across the world, the planet.
Yeah, which, I think it's at one point they make a comment about like that. The part that they think is like the front, like that spearhead part of it, they're like, yeah, that's 9 blocks wide.
They say it. They say it's 15 kilometers in diameter. I swear to God, which is 13 miles.
Would you say 15? No,
I think it says
15. It's 2.2. It's like 2.2.
Well, 5K is 3.10. So
it's like 40.
So 10. So 10. It's a 10 mile diameter, give or take, right under 10. I'm sure we can Google what it is.
Yeah, it's the other way. Yeah.
But either way, that's just
like 10.
10 miles is like, we drive 10 miles and it's 10 minutes. I don't think we as people understand like how big that fucker is, would be above our head if it's 10 miles.
Yeah, they do a couple of those, a couple of the shots and stuff where it's even, I think, going into like the last sort of fight and stuff, they try and do some things that are like perspective, you know, and even the, even in the beginning when, you know, Will Smith's taking that first flight and he just comes in, you know, you have these guys looking through their little heads up displays on their fighter jets, and it's just taking up their whole cockpit. Like, but even then, it's still not like the greatest perspective.
Or when he's at the, when you watch the paper
in real life. Yeah. Yeah. If you saw that in real life, it would just, oh my God, it'd be like a kick in the chest. Like, what would you do?
Like, I also find it like wild. So these guys, I've got the basically the first like air attack when Will Smith goes up is playing right now up here up on the TV. And like they're launching, like I understand, you're like, I'm gonna launch missiles at this thing. Like, and it shows later when they finally, you know, get through the defenses, but they're launching like regular like missiles from a plane. It's like, yeah, you hit it, but did what's you really it gonna do? Like, yeah. What are, like, it's a fucking scratch. Like, it doesn't do anything. Like, just the sheer size of the ship versus the missiles they're launching is it would be crazy. But yeah, it would certainly be something. Like, just, and they do a good job of that a couple times, that just like covering up a whole like downtown of the cities that they're showing it covering and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was wrong. Which, you know, never happens. It is 15 miles diameter.
Oh, okay. 50. Yeah, so it would be, so
it's even bigger.
Like, yeah. 28, basically, yeah, 28, 25, 28.
So
kilometers.
So the question is, if any of us lived in one of these towns and one of these things showed up above us, are you sticking in town like the stripper, or are you leaving town?
The stripper friend that goes on top of the building.
Also, that part is one of my favorite parts. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but like you can tell they cut a scene out because Vivica Fox walks left, and within 10 seconds, she's fully dressed and it cracks me up every goddamn time. Like, she comes back and she's just completely dressed already, and I'm like, that's quick change right there, like, you know.
So as far as, like, if you want to actually practically talk about it,
that's what we're doing. It's a practical podcast.
I would be scared shitless, but if I was actually thinking about it logically, they're not just gonna park fucking spaceships over the biggest cities on the planet to be like, hey, we want to be friends with just, you.
Yeah, to check things out.
Like, no, there's a goddamn reason that they're doing that. Like, get the hell away from the city. Now, being able to actually do so, because everybody's freaking out, is a different thing. But no, I'm not just, like, getting on a building and being like, yeah, welcome. Love you, or whatever.
Okay, devil's advocate here. If I feel like I'm not going to be able to leave the city, put me on the first building so that way I feel nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're just done.
Really, is, like, yeah, if you're sort of late to the party, like, and I know it's even, like, there's the thing about where Vivica's in the car and, you know, on the radio, it's just, and avoid highways if you can. And she's, oh, you tell me that now. It's just like, what made you think there wouldn't be other people there? Like, what?
Oh, now you all tell right. me. Yeah. Like, no shit.
What's about this? Yeah. That's about that part. We're going to talk about that part. About that part. So obviously the ships, like Jake said, fuck us up. After, like, David Goldblum, Ian Malcolm's just like, hey, motherfuckers, we need to leave town. That's also how I learned how satellites work, was in this movie.
I mean, it is a pretty good, like, simple explanation.
So,
like, yeah, they found shit around.
I love the welcome party that just gets smoked. The
ones with the lights. Yeah,
they're making contact. Oh wait, no, we're dead.
Yeah, just picked right out of the air.
So, yeah, so they blow up, they shoot the whatever, the bomb, and Vivica Fox is hanging out with Boomer, the lab, and the son. And I love this part. Buckwheat. Buckwheat. Yeah, it is Buckwheat from what the fuck is that movie?
Little Rascals.
There you go. I was going to say Little People, and that's not politically correct.
No, Little People's fine.
Oh, that's right. Midgets. That's what it is. Oh, shit.
That's what some of the, some, yeah, anyway.
So
oh, those are race cars.
They are a type of race car.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Buckwheat, who's just a small person, not a midget, is hanging out with Boomer the lab and Vivica Fox. We probably forgot what her name is, the character's name, at some point.
I looked it up like three times today. Yeah. It's
she's also
great since she's a stripper, like it's a perfect stripper name.
I also it's Jasmine. Fucking Jasmine.
That's what I said.
I only have one of my headphones sides working, so I missed that. That's my fault. Jasmine's a good name, regardless of stripper.
No, it's a fine name. It's just, it's ironic that her name's Jasmine and she's also a stripper. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, dear God, we're going to get letters. Let me get Jared_Leaper on Twitter is who you need to talk to when this goes sideways. He also refers to them as little people. Anyways, so explosion happens. The dog's in the car. And when I watched this, my son years ago, my oldest one, Gavin, who's a huge dog person and also girlfriend who's a dog. And she's like, are they going to kill the fucking dog? And Gavin is flipping out. He's like, if they kill this dog, we're done watching it. And my 9-year-old is like, scream, because the dog is like in the car.
Yeah, like, he's just chilling. He's not worried.
The motorcycle hits the door before a dog gets there. Mm-hmm. And Boomer somehow is like, oh, I'm just going to wait that out. I'd hate to, like, get almost during a smoke by a Harley. And Boomer, like, just dies on the door. Explosion. January 3rd. July 3rd. Also found out that apparently those alien weapons don't have jet fuel because the World Trade Center is still standing there afterwards. That's fine. Loose change. Jesus inside Christ. Job.
Oh, my God. Also,
far on the exploding alien part.
They have less than jet fuel because jet fuel wasn't hot enough for the World Trade Centers. Remember?
Okay. So yeah. They need that. loosechange.com. Anyways, I think it's still around. Anyways, I love the part also before the White House explodes when like two guys are running late and they're like, oh, we'll get the next chopper.
Yeah.
You should have been paying more attention, because that ain't going to work.
It's, It's when they get to, so I made a note initially, like at the very beginning, like when the whole thing's opening, the whole movie's opening, there's, they show a little satellite out in space run into the giant alien ship, and it gives this giant fucking explosion where it, I first took a note. I'm like, not how that would happen in space. There's no oxygen to fuel that explosion, but whatever. God, we'll move it, past dude. That.
Correct.
But then it's as they're blowing up the cities, that's where I'm like, oh, they just really, really liked fire in this one. Like, this yeah. is borderline a Michael Bay yeah, movie.
When the spaceships come in, they're like a storm of fire through the sky. And it's like,
yeah. Yeah. And they okay. do. So kind of to pick up where Ted was there, they do, you know, you've got, they've loaded up Air Force One and they're taking off, and just the airstrip behind them, just the runway, it keeps exploding into new fires. Just well, concrete turning into fire.
That's the weapon, right? The weapon does that. It's like a wall of fire. Like, and that's a great scene. I love that's also great. Like right before that, when like David Livingstone is like on the airplane, like the timer runs out and he's just like, time's up. And I think Independence Day has like a very underrated soundtrack. Yeah. You know, and then it goes to Jasmine's friend holding the sign up, you know, and then the blue flare and all that shit, and the poor bastard.
Yeah, I think it is. On the first chopper. It is well done. That's usually something that I'm not, and once again with this, like I wouldn't pick it out, but
it's a very funny movie.
Added.
All right.
Did you say funny movie?
It is a funny movie. I'm going to leave that right now. So my favorite quote, look at me transitioning to our questions. So this movie has a bunch of really great quotes. We're going to say
lots of quotes.
I'm going to save the president's speech till later. That is not eligible for the best quote. That's ineligible right now. Cause yeah. I mean, that wins.
Yeah. I mean, that's by far the best.
Lots so how about I word this as, what is you guys' favorite underrated quote? Because I have a few.
Ooh.
And I've also probably seen this movie more than you guys have.
So this was the first time, like, there was a handful of quotes I was going to write down, and then I'm just like, there's so many that I just never really get to them. I'm not going to really do quotes. So I only have two that I actually wrote down. Okay. One of them is, and they're not, you know, the big ones. But you have, so you get the whole backstory on, David and the president and their history and whatever. And then when they're in Area 51, the president's talking to him and he gives him the, see if you're as smart as we hope you are.
That's a good one.
And then it's pretty early on. I think it's when they're scrambling in the, I don't even know where I wrote it down. But it's David Stab is talking to somebody, and just, I think it's David's ex-wife or current, yeah. whatever she is.
Well, it's
separated,
yeah,
divorce, whatever they are.
But I think he looks at her and he says, all you need is love. And he goes, John Lennon, smart man, shot in the back, very sad.
I also wrote that one down. It's delivered so well.
Yeah.
Judd Hirsch delivers that line so well.
He might be the MVP, like the secret MVP.
He's so good. Like, yeah, an underrated MVP of the movie.
Perfect. Judd Hirsch. Because he's funny, but he also, he has, like, he brings love to him. And, like, when they're on the airplane, like, they're all fighting. He's like, hey, how about you listen to man? You'd all be fucking dead.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for him, you're all fucking dead.
Yeah.
Listen to David right now, you know.
Okay, like, so I'm going to go. I kind of want to, like, put it all in one, but you get the, after Will Smith like ejects, takes down the alien ship, he gets up and he's like, look at you, ship all banged up. And like as he's walking up,
no,
to the
you're
ship,
not just shoot that green shit at me.
Yeah, and then he gets up there and you get the welcome to Earth and the punch in the face that knocks the alien out. And then you cut away. But then you come back, and so this is like all, if it was together, it would all be like one sequence. And you get him dragging the alien like through the desert. And he's like bitching to the alien that's like knocked out that he's carrying,
which apparently is like is an ad lib, because it was smelly and he got pissed off that he was dragging it and he just started kicking the shit out of it.
Yeah, he's like, this is supposed to be my weekend off, but no. He like says something else and he's like, and what the hell is that smell? And he like starts kicking the shit out of it. That whole sequence of I kind of wish it was one together. It's good that it's split up and it makes sense, but like that sequence of him, the dog fight, the little bit of the lines in there to the crash, to him punching the alien, then dragging it through the desert is like, it's like peak Will Smith in this movie for me.
This movie is so good at like I said, it's better than it gets credit for. And I have fought on Twitter Armageddon or Independence Day, and I'm team Armageddon, but I still fucking love this movie so much.
Yeah, they're both great.
So many subtle things. My favorite one, like, there's two. It's before when Stephen Heller gets to the Air Force place, you know, and he's talking with the singer whose name I can't think of right now, Harry something, right? Collins Jr., something Jr. And he's like, oh, he didn't make the space program, and he drops the wedding ring, and like he's like picks him up, pick
in
it
the,
up
in the locker room, and the guy walks around
like,
the corner.
He's like, this is a wedding ring, and the guy like puts his hands up. And it's like,
yeah. I made a note of that part too. There's a lot of little, like, when you say it's a funny movie, there's a lot of good comical things like that.
When he's going to steal the copter and the guy's like, I can't let you do that. And he's just like, just tell him I hit you.
Yeah. And it's not only that line that he delivers, but the look the guy gives him,
the guy's like, reaction. Yeah.
He's like,
just, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. Cause that's going to fly.
You know, like, also another one of my favorite lines is, on top of the, you know, you had those aliens back in Roswell. And he's like, no, there's nothing there. And the CIA guy's like, well, that's not
That's not entirely accurate.
And
yeah, that's another one that I marked down. Like, there's so many good.
And I'll leave it on this one. I'm sure we'll get to others later. But like, so they get to Area 51. The alien takes control of Data. And maybe kill the fucking alien before you open it up. But whatever, that's neither here near here now. And like, it like psychically like fucks with the president's head, and they're just sitting there, and like the general's like, is this thing bulletproof? No, sir. Then they all just like line up and just fucking destroy that. And then afterwards, the dude just like walks up and like headshots the fucking alien like three goddamn
times. Double tap.
Yep. I guess the only other one that I thought of just real quick was when they first go to fly the spaceship, and you get the ins and outs of all the oopses.
Yeah.
And just, oops. What do you mean
oops? What do you mean oops?
That way, without the oops.
Yes. You think you can really fly that thing? You think you can really do all that shit you just said?
Yeah. There's some real, like, Goldblum has some real,
he's on a heater, man. This is Raptor Jurassic Park.
Yeah, you know, he has some real juice in this movie for like, no more, like, he's not, I don't think he's supposed to have the juice he has in this movie, but he does.
Yeah, so this is 3 years after Jurassic Park, when he was Ian Malcolm, sexy Ian Malcolm. You know, we also forgot when he had the Will Smith thing about how, like, when they won't let him in the Area 51, he's like, this is my clearance, you know?
And somehow that gets every RV in. But he's got an alien, they don't. Like, you can't just let all of them in.
All right, we're in this podcast a bit. Let's talk the RVs. Randy Quaid is in this movie. I can't remember what other movie we talked about him on, but he's legit batshit crazy. We didn't do Days of Thunder. Did we do Days of Thunder?
Yeah.
Anyway, did we do? All right. So Randy Quaid.
Not since rebrand, but yes.
Yes, but like, yeah. So Randy Quaid is a legit nutcase. Like, he's not allowed in the US. He is just batshit now. He's great in this movie. Like, also have Joseph Joseph something Gordon.
Gordon Levitt.
All right. Well, you know. Well, that's Joseph.
Joseph Gordon Levitt.
Oh, okay. All right. Him. He's in this for like 2 seconds. Randy Quaid. Like, that whole part there is like so subtle. Like, he's just, they built up to him showing up. He has the RVs. He's like, there's something on the map. Yeah, there is. And like, he's just a drunk crop duster that like is a failure overall, but also like maybe it's a failure because, and like I think you mentioned, like, well, possibly abducted by aliens, but well, movie's about aliens, so I mean,
he claims it. That was one question I was gonna, and we can maybe not debate it now, or we can talk about it later, or whatever. Maybe you want to talk about it now. Was he do you think he was actually abducted by aliens?
Of course, yeah, man, he got his revenge. I'm team yes. Were you on that?
So I got thinking about this because especially when it is that part where it's, and I guess I was 6 years old, so I guess I don't know how much in the pop culture and the idea of Area 51 was.
Buddy, X-Files was 5 years old at this point.
It
was
in the pop culture. It's one of those things where I'm like, okay, so you've got what is sort of, at least everybody would treat him as like a giant conspiracy dude that's,
you know, Unsolved Mysteries by aliens. And has Prime right now too, you know, so yeah, also fuck that show, like, as a young kid.
So it's just like, but these guys out here, you're going to tell them there's a base over there and just, they don't know anything about Area 51. They don't know it's out in the middle of the desert. Like, and also like, he wouldn't have been able to just, you know, fly over and spot it.
And also bothers me that they're coming from the direction which he says the base is at and they missed it.
I think that's a fair criticism. But yeah, and then it's in, I guess in part of that, a little bit hand in hand, I thought in my mind, in my recollection anyway, I thought like Randy Quaid and like the kids were more of a story in this. Like,
I mean,
it's little pieces here and there, but I'm just like, oh, they don't really have a whole lot of like,
besides him being a drunk
standalone, right? Yeah, yeah, you yeah, get,
he's
you
more
get his thing
there,
but
him and his kids are more memorable more memorable overall than they are like present in the movie. I would agree with that. I agree.
Because the ending ties that together, you know, like, which we'll get to. But yeah, like that. But
yeah,
you're
just
right,
like, it's just like, Sean, when I would think of the movie before rewatching it, it's like, yeah, I definitely remember the kids and Randy Quaid and like specifically the kids, like all three of the kids I remember. And it's like, they didn't do, I mean, Miguel was kind of like more in it, but the other two were just kind of there. Like,
right. And one of them make him a super, super famous guy. So is there anything that, all right, well, I'm not going to do that yet. Is there anything that like you guys have forgotten was from this movie? Which with this movie is incredibly hard to do.
No, I don't think so.
So I don't think there was anything that was necessarily like from that's used as far as in pop culture. There were parts that I forgot about. I forgot that they nuke Houston, and then immediately after that the first lady dies. I forgot she dies.
let's get that. We are slowly moving through the plot. So the dogfight fails. Whitmore gets mind fucked by the alien. Then they kill the alien. Jane from Firefly double taps it. And then he's just like, I'm done fucking around, nuke those motherfuckers. Which I get, you know. And they nuke Houston.
I have a question.
All right. I don't have an answer.
No, there is no answer. This is unanswerable.
Oh, now I want to answer it.
So they already launched fucking missiles at the ship.
Yep.
At the ship, whatever, the one ship. Why the fuck do you think that a nuke is going to go through the shield?
Because it's more powerful.
I'm sure it's some level of like desperation in this. I don't know. Maybe
it's a big cock in the locker room type argument. I have this thing.
Yeah, no, I can understand. I understand the well. It's a nuke. I understand that it's a nuke. No, definitely can't understand. No, I get the, oh, it's a nuke, so it can just blast through the, well, no, like, just because it's, I don't know, that seems silly to me to just think that, like, oh, well, these missiles didn't go through it, but the nuke is going to, like, blow the shield
how
up.
How many innocent people up. Do they kill in Houston when that happens?
Well, they make
an offhand comment out. Like, it's like, oh, it's deserted. I'm like, motherfuckers, I saw Katrina. Yeah, there are still people there.
Yeah, they said it was deserted, so civilian casualties will be minimal. So, like,
yeah, I mean, it's thousands of people. Because even with the shit that went down, like, it's less about the explosion and more about, like, it's a fucking nuke, like the fallout right. and stuff the around fallout, it. Yeah. Fuck, it
so, fuck speaking up. Of the nuke, before they nuke Houston, because they're whatever, small dick energy. They show the map of where the ships have been. Were you guys like me? And did you see if Des Moines got hit? And you're like, I'm safe.
Des Moines was not on my list.
I know Des Moines wasn't on it. But also, like, just me living in BFE, I was like, what's the closest town they got? I think they get St. Louis. I know Chicago's wiped out. I know Chicago gets hit.
Yeah, Chicago was wiped out.
Chicago will be the first closest one.
And I'm or KC, but I'm always like happy, like when I see this
Chicago, KC, St. Louis.
When I'm like, when I live in the middle of fucking nowhere like I do, I'm like, and they ain't getting me. They ain't getting me. I'm good.
That's a small fish over here. That's you need not worry about me.
Until they show that part of the end where they're like, oh, they're shit, they're gonna have an invasion. They're all just gonna like come wipe us out. All right. Speaking of nuke parts, a good part of benches. I love this movie because like it is so well transitions from day to day. July 2nd. After they fucking fail in their counterattack, July 3rd, end of the nuke. And then we're on July 4th when like we're at our lowest, we're fucked. Speaking of this, and I know I'm such a movie nerd about this, the studio did not want to call this Independence Day. They tried changing it. They tried fighting it. And they literally filmed the speech at the end and said, we can't film that again. And then made sure he said Independence Day in the speech so the studio could not change the title. Like, I don't understand what you would call this.
Yeah, because they codenamed it ID4 and used that for a long time or something, right?
Well, they hated the studio fought on the title. They hated the title. They did not want to be called Independence Day. And ID4 is such a great, like, just... that's not acronym. Is it an acronym? Is that what I'm looking for here?
Acronym, yeah, kind of. Not really. It's not Independence Day 4. Like that was just
Also, speaking of this movie, you need to find ID4 in real time on Twitter. It's one of my favorite follows.
Yes.
Come about this time.
July 2nd is when it starts up, right? So
late June they start like just saying like
there's stuff that's
So
they basically live tweet the timeline of the movie.
Right, but like as an actual thing. All right, so
it's great.
Is there any gif from this movie? Which I thought about this for a while. I don't think there is. Unless I'm missing something.
I think so. I searched it earlier just to be sure, to make sure there weren't any others that are like super popular that I wasn't thinking of. The Randy Quaid, "Hello Boys, I'm Back" I think is the most popular one from the movie. The rest of there's some pretty good gifts like when you search just Independence Day that you could use, but I don't think I've seen many of them used a lot other than the Randy Quaid one,
which also like kind of like leans into what we discussed in other podcasts. Like it's just we weren't at GIF culture quite yet when this came out. Like we're not
This movie definitely has the aspects of like what we've talked about before that it could be, but I just think that there was a lot of other stuff around it, especially when you're talking about like Will Smith, like being probably the one that would carry it as far as like a movie star. Well, there's a lot of other like Will Smith stuff that goes on around this. So he probably isn't going to like super popularize gifable points.
Oh man, I mean maybe this movie made a shit ton of money. Like just
no, I'm not like downplaying the movie. I just think that there's like a lot of other stuff that goes on around this time as far as movies
All right. Let's play how much money this movie made.
terrible. 70, no fucking idea.
$75 million budget. Over under is $750 million.
Oh my God.
Holy shit. Well, I'm glad you gave us an over under.
I was going to say like 350. So,
yeah, I was going to be closer to three.
Well, I don't know what this is. If this is SB, whatever.
Well, SB, that's all. Worldwide. That's also like, is that like worldwide ever since launch? So all of
God
the money
has earned
since? Because that makes it tough too.
I'm going to give you a new over under.
Like box office.
Okay. New over under is 275.
Can we get is that box office?
Domestic? That's U.S. box office. U.S. box office. 275 million is your over under.
That's a lot closer to what I was going to guess.
Right. Yeah.
I will take over and say 280.
Oh man, that's. For the sake of the game, I'll take the under, but I can't imagine if it is, it's by much.
$306 million domestic.
Oh, yeah. So Jake is like right on.
$817 million worldwide.
That's insane.
Wow. It crushed worldwide, too. That's crazy.
Well, yeah. All right. So, yeah. So let's get this part because we're about an hour, almost close to an hour. And I know we wouldn't have very long. Yeah, we didn't want a very long podcast. So, we've already talked about famous actor in a small role. That's Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I mean, look at that fucking meme nailing that name. Fucking gold star. I watched this movie tonight. I've watched this 100 times more. To me, it has three distinct goosebump points. Do you guys consider at any point this movie having a goosebump point? I'm not saying like tonight, rewatch, in your lifetime, where you're like, holy shit, I have goosebumps on my arms. This is... Maybe you're not a goosebumps on your arms person.
I mean, it's... The speech is always up there. The, like
speech is so good.
I have a buddy of mine who is, you know, he's one of them. He watches it every year, and he still every year is just, man, that speech just gets me, man.
Dude,
it just really gets me.
I've been saying it for years, man. I want in the presidential debates, them to stare at the camera verbatim, no cue cards. I want to hear the speech. I want to know if these motherfuckers push comes to shove, we're in the shit. I want a president that can stand up and be like, we will not go quietly into the night. We will fight. We will not be vanquished. Today will not no longer be an American holiday. It will be a national, worldwide holiday. This is our Independence Day. That speech is fucking
so good.
Go good.
Yeah, I think there's – I'm curious to see what your third is. So I won't necessarily just say – I think goosebumps moments means this for me because it's kind of changed over time. There's two moments that kind of evoke emotion. Well, other than the mom dying in this movie, but like some kind of emotion or response, like emotional response for me, the speech is definitely a like goosebumps or just like some kind of, yeah, whatever that is, that feeling is.
It is a multiple, like,
and then
in a few minutes, nations from across the world be combined attack, man, just so good.
Yeah, there's just like a lot that goes into that at different times in my life that's done different things to my feelings. But and then Randy Quaid, like when he comes in, I told you I wouldn't let you down. Cover me, boys.
Clear
the road. And then, you know, it's locked up. Tell my kids I love them or whatever. That part right there.
Tell my children I love them very much.
And then just hello, boys, I'm back. And just that thing, that's the...
Those are the two
for me. I don't know what the third one is for you, but I'm curious to find out.
They set up Randy Quaid's part so much. Russell Case. Does anyone have any missiles left? You know? And then he goes flying in. Hello, Mr. President!
So good.
Picked a hell of a day to quit drinking.
Yeah, when he starts to take off and he presses the wrong button. I picked a hell of a day to quit drinking.
We're not going to comment on how they fuck up on how many missiles the president has, which is fine.
Yeah, I feel like if you really like count through there, that's not a
they ever don't actually show him launching the second one, even though it shows him line up to launch the second one, which is okay. Anyways, yeah, Russell Case flying in. So those two are amazing, top tier. Where's my generation? Up yours. Into the Also, I love that. Like, I noticed the fact that like they ran out of money. So like, if you look at that part, it's actually them redoing the Empire State Building exploding from backwards, and you can actually see it. But like, they changed the.
Oh code. Yeah, I think I've heard that before. I guess I wasn't paying attention so like for it today, but
yeah. My other one is the Morse code part when they're all talking and like they're like going across. And he's like, the Americans have a plan, and then it goes to like Israelis and Palestine.
It goes to all the different,
And then the Germans are like, what do you mean they got a plan? They can take the shields down, and the Japan guys are like, we launch in five. That whole part, like, you know, like, got a code coming, it's old Morse code, and they're all like sitting around, like, what do you mean it's old Morse code? Like, it's just like, we can fucking do this, let's fucking take those motherfuckers down, you know. That all those parts, the speech is top tier, man. Like, if I'm watching this on TV and it's anywhere near the speech, I'm stopping. Like,
And I guess not necessarily, I'm sort of in the Goosebumps vein anyway, but when it's, I just thought about this because it hit me today when I was watching it in pieces. And I was thinking ahead, you know, what's coming up in the movie and everything. But when Will Smith and Goldblum are in the mothership and they get that, you know, they bring the screen back and they sit there and they're just like, this guy has no idea what's about to happen. It was just this clue.
I want to talk about this. This is my favorite things. I love talking about this part. So they go up to the mothership and they like lock in, that dude like locks them in. And all I can think about whenever I watch that thing is Clerks, the first Clerks. And he's like, I'm not supposed to be here today. Yeah. You know, in my head, that alien like got called in on his day off. He's hungover. He's like, probably not even like, he's probably covering for his buddy. Doesn't even know what to fucking do. He's like, his buddy's like, Fred's like, Fred, buddy, I feel like shit. Can you cover the station?
Can you do me a solid?
Just sit there. You push some buttons. The ships come in. You don't have to do shit. Just lock them in. All you got to do is lock those guys. And then, like, it's all going bad. It's been poisoned, you know. And, like, he's getting, like, radios from people like the aliens up. The fuck did you do, motherfucker? He's like, what do you know? Like, in my head, that dude just having like the worst first day of his life, and then he gets blown up by a fucking.
Yeah, and then none of it matters because they all go boom. Yeah. So
I also love like when they're trying to escape, like how big that door must be because like it's closing, and Jeff Goldblum's David's must go
there's
faster.
There's a few things that like things of scale in this movie where it's like you look at something and then like. They give you something that comes in or goes through the screen or whatever to give you scale, and you go, holy sh! Like,
well, yeah, like
massive.
When they're going towards that exit after they drop the nuke, and like the door looks so small, and then like they go through like a tiny ass triangle, and like, oh wait, how small? How big was that door, and how small was that ship?
Yeah,
yeah,
you know, yeah, that whole part's great. I ain't heard no fat lady. What are you doing? You're obsessed with the fat lady. What are you talking about the fat lady?
Dude, those two. I'm telling you, those two. I don't know if the movie gets better if you put them together in the movie more, but man, the little amount of time they're actually together in the movie is like, they're just fucking electric.
Yeah. It's amazing. That whole part's amazing. I love how then like the ship blows up, all the other ships blow up. And then David and Steven Heller crash. And then they park the Jeep's like a half a mile away, so the wives and girlfriends and kids can like sprint towards them.
Well, yeah, because you gotta have the scene of them running at them and them like swag walking through the desert with the cigars and
yeah, so just I mean, this movie's so good. All right, least favorite part of this movie. I'm just gonna hijack this and say it because there's a second one. Unless you guys have something that you don't like.
No, I mean, I don't. If you don't kill the first lady,
which is
and
rough.
You don't have the nuke part, you I can make you mean, the same movie without those things.
I think the first lady dying, which I hate, is like it's fridging, is what it's called in pop culture, makes him make aggressive decisions. Because she's is she back after they nuke Houston or before? She's after the nucleus.
She dies after the nucleus. Like, it's literally the next scene.
Yeah. Whitmer's having a hard time. So,
yeah, I think you can make the movie basically the same without killing her.
I agree.
Yeah, it's because it's
now that's basically the only part of the movie. Like, if you want an emotional, like, heartstring tugging scene, that's where you get it, I suppose. But beyond that,
yeah, and it's just, I don't know. It's, you very much could miss it. I don't think you really, you gain a little bit, you don't gain a ton. But yeah, I don't think there's any like major stretches that like,
all right,
I check out that I don't need that aren't good.
I've got one more thing to like bitch about. It didn't really take me out of the movie necessarily, but so the whole like everything blows up and Jasmine and the kid come out of the maintenance, like the concrete tunnel maintenance closet, and everything, like even kind of the background of like where they're coming out of is like, you can see light through it and everything's demolished.
Yeah.
And they just like come out of there and like, not that they're just okay, but like, they're basically just okay. And right, everything else is like just gone.
The tunnel blew up.
And I'm like,
the tunnel is in pieces, you could, and they just
walk. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I understand the idea of what you're doing here, but like, you probably should have not made the whole tunnel basically gone.
Right.
And then
downplay
just like
the wreckage a little bit.
Yeah. Like make it a little bit more sense. Maybe. I don't know. That's that, once again, when we like watch these movies to talk about them for this, there's stuff like that that I've literally never thought that critically about probably any of the movie before, but I just noticed it tonight when I was watching. I was like, dude, the whole thing's gone. Like, what?
Well, and then it's right after that too, is somebody finds this city street
truck
and they're just running around getting refugees, which is where they find the first lady. But at some point it ends up, this guy helps her, I think, like even get the one tiny piece of plastic off of her that was holding her down. But it's July 3rd.
How about you get a helicopter accident and you tell me you can't push out some fucking
plastic? My issue isn't with the plastic. My issue is that it's July 3rd in LA or wherever they're at, and the world has basically just ended. Everything blew up. Everybody's dead. And this guy's still wearing a suit jacket.
Yeah, he's like, yeah,
what do you do? It's just sweating his ass off, going, it's so hot, it's, take the jacket off, man, no one's gonna care.
Maybe it's already torn. Maybe it's really fucking sunburn and he's cold, right? I mean, worst part of being a sunburn is, you know, being cold as shit. All right, before we say goodnight and I give my quote, we're gonna talk about the worst thing about the movie, which is the second one. And so Jake has not seen it. Well, we gotta talk about it's there, sail up in the room. Have either one of you seen the second one or just me?
I've seen it. I remember absolutely nothing about
so,
the it. So I think I've one, seen it one time.
The second one, I think I've seen it one, maybe one half. It could have survived, but Will Smith made After Earth with his son.
Yes.
And he hated it so much that he pulled out of the second one. Which, how do you make Independence Day 2 about Will Smith? So they kill him off screen. They have his son, who's not
somebody else. Yeah.
That's not the guy in this movie.
It's his adopted son or whatever from this movie.
Sure. Yes. It's Jasmine. Cause Jasmine's in it. She's a nurse.
Yeah. Okay.
Literally everyone else is back. Whitmore's crazy. Cause you know, the mind meld. Yeah. So they kill Will Smith character off screen. They have the wrong Hemsworth. The not Thor Hemsworth is in this movie as some asshole. They recast the president's daughter, which to this day blows my mind. She's Maya Whitman. She's a pretty famous actor. She's from Parenthood and Good Girls and The Duff. Anyways, someone you would both know if you saw her. And they don't actually go out and... Maya Whitman. And they don't actually go out and say it's because she's not attractive enough, but they recast her with the blonde from It Follows and a bunch of movies that I can't think of right now. Maya Malkovich. But it's so hilarious that like they're like, no. We can't do this girl, you know, attractive. We have this other skinny blonde girl to be more attractive, but we can't tell you that's why we didn't recast her.
Mila Malkovich?
Yes. She's in a bunch of shit too. Anyways, the second one's terrible. It's bad. Don't watch it. It would have been fine if they made a third one, because like the second one literally ends with them being like, we're going to go fuck these assholes up. They've attacked us twice. And then it never gets made, which is the movie I want to see. Be like, we're getting tired of being on the defensive. Let's go on the offensive. And yeah,
like I said, Independence is great.
I think Whitmore is my favorite fictional president. Where's he on your guys?
Micah Monroe?
Yes.
Okay. Ask that question again. Sorry.
Where is Whitmore on your favorite fictional presidents?
Oh.
Bucky's on the Mount Rushmore, and that sounds so stupid. I mean, he's stupid when you say that shit.
Man, that's something I would have to like probably think a lot more about.
I mean the dude from West Wing on there, you know, if you want to do TV, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's I gotta for sure be up there in the conversation. Some of the
I think I probably don't qualify for the ranking because I have probably not seen a lot of the top, like a lot of the series or movies or whatever that people would pick presidents from.
To be you don't honest. Know fictional presidents?
I mean, I know
about the president from The Rock that you know decided they should nuke The Rock. Nicolas Cage is still
no, thriving. But like you, I think you said what West Wing. Like, there's a lot of movies and TV series that involve like the president and stuff that are famous that I haven't seen. So I'm
say, sure. The so. First thing in my head was it's just Morgan Freeman in White House Down. And I don't know that's a great
place. No, to God damn, that's Jimmy motherfucker. That's Jimmy Fox. Morgan Freeman's in Deep Rising. No, one? not Deep Rising. Deep Impact.
No, he's in the other.
No, he's in Deep Impact, which is the comet movie. Jimmy Fox is in White House Down. Don't fight.
I don't believe so. Maybe.
I'll bet you any amount of money that Morgan Freeman's in
there's the two modern president attack movies, isn't?
Yeah,
isn't,
Olympus has
sorry,
fallen.
Sorry, Olympus has fallen. Yeah,
yes, that's what I was. That's yeah. That,
Morgan
that's
Freeman, that's not, what I was Morgan thinking. Freeman is not the president. That he's the Secretary of State. In that he's not the president.
All right. Well,
don't fight me on this.
Sure, I'll trust.
I don't know. Yeah. I love Bill Pullman as the president in this movie.
He's like, so good.
He's. I don't know if he as the president, like actually, if you evaluate him presidentially, how good he is.
Dude stops an alien invasion. I feel like he's getting unlimited terms.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. I don't know. Like, I think he's very good. I would put him rank him very high, but I don't have.
He also nuked Houston. A lot of
context.
All know? Right, motherfucker. All right.
But I think like on
you
like,
know Bill, that's coming Bill, out in re-election.
Bill Pullman playing like the way that he plays. The president, like the way that he acts body language wise with facial expressions and stuff, he's so fucking good in this movie. I would rank Thomas J. Whitmore pretty high on my president, like movie presidential fake president rankings, whatever.
Right. I agree.
Is this the first instance of kick the tires and light the fires? Or kick the tires and light the fires?
Well, considering I've never heard that term outside of this movie.
Really? Okay. I didn't know. Like, I use it pretty commonly now, and I know it's in this movie, but I didn't know if it was, like, a thing before the movie. Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy? Like,
this. I've never heard that outside of this movie.
Okay. No, I know, not the Big Daddy part, but... I legitimately didn't know if that was a thing before this movie. Like, kick the tires and light the fires is... a pretty common like saying that I've used with friends for you know a long time now. So,
well, now you know where it's from.
Sweet.
Did you know it's from before that? I'm asking. Like,
I knew that it was before today. Yeah, I knew it was from this movie. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've used it for like me and my friends have like used it for a long time since this movie. I just had no idea if it was just like a saying that they had. Taken from somewhere else. I mean, there's a lot of, I don't know. No, there's a lot of like plain stuff that's happened before this movie. I didn't fucking know.
Yeah, I don't either. All right, so I got the goodbye. It's on my card. I'm right now. So until next time, I am
Ted.
Did we lose him?
I think his computer just cut him off.
Well, I guess.
All right. Well, I guess we will talk to you guys later and. Maybe someday Ted will actually get an outro out. All right. Peace out.